working through salvation. Well, the last 2 weeks we covered repentance. If you don't get repentance right, the rest of it doesn't matter. You've got to be somebody that repents. You've got to be somebody that gets honest with God. That's just the way that God does it. And so you have to be a person of repentance. God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. It says here in Acts 2 and 38, it says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Repent. And then be baptized. Not two of you, not three of you. Every one of you. In the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? No, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You can be seated. We're going to talk about baptism. We're going to talk about the importance of baptism. You know, sometimes if we don't understand what we believe, or we don't know what we believe, or we might not even understand why we believe what we believe. And so we're just going to go through. I could spend the next month on baptism. And I've only got a Sunday or two to really spend some time with it. So we're going to kind of not just, we're going to run through it. We'll go deep and come back up and run a little more, but try to cover some territory about it. In John 3 and 5, it says, "And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." These are the words of Jesus Christ. Some people argue, oh, well, you know, the disciples said that, or that was just another man that wrote that. The disciples, they, you know, that was their opinion on the matter. And my philosophy of the matter is I've had people come and tell me, well, that was just one man's opinion of the matter, and that's just they're just a man in the Bible, and that's just the way they thought. And I look at them and I think, well, you've been playing video games all week and playing on your phone and watching CSI. And so you're an authority on what God wants. I don't want to be an authority in my life on what God wants. I want the Bible to be the authority in my life of what God wants. Amen? Because my own emotions, the things that I desire, the things that I want, do not always follow up with the Word of God. This old nasty flesh that I wear, that it doesn't want anything to do with God. It's something that the scripture talks about dying daily, being crucified with Christ, and yet I live. That it's something that we have to understand, just because that it's what we think or what we feel that then it's right and it's good. No, it's what does the Word of God say about it? I want to know what men that spent those years with Jesus, I want to know what he told them. I want to find out what those men that sat at his feet every night as he taught and spoke to them, and that he conveyed his message and what he desired to happen. That's who I want to listen to. Those are the men that I want to hear from. Those are the men that they learned at the feet of Jesus, and now they're trying to portray it and put it into words under the unction of the Holy Ghost to be able to speak it into our lives. And so, but Jesus says it right here, plain as day, that a man must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That there's something important about baptism. This man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was not an evil man. And he comes to Jesus and he asks him, "What must I do to be saved? I want to be saved. What must I do?" And Jesus begins to talk to him. "You've got to be born in the water, and you've got to be born in the Spirit." He sat there, and all the things that they could have talked about that night, these were the things that he felt was most important for his life. You've got to be born of the water, and you've got to be born of the Spirit. The earliest baptisms we find in the Old Testament, that they used it as an act of cleansing. As they have gone and dug out some of the old towns, they have found places of baptism. The requirements were is that was to be able to hold 60, there in our words would be 60 gallons of water. They had to be able to completely submerge in that water to be able to cleanse themselves. They would cleanse themselves before they went to the temple. They would cleanse themselves before a different feast. There were things that they would do as an act of cleansing themselves, of getting everything out, of an act of repentance as they before they went into the temple, before they went into a feast. We see where Naaman, as he came with leprosy and he came before Elisha, and Elisha told him, I want you to go down to the River Jordan and dip 7 times. It was a form of cleansing. It was a form of washing away. And I don't know if I want to do that. I've got better rivers and prettier places where I come from. I've got better ideas and better ways of things that it could be done. I don't understand why God chose baptism to be so important. I don't understand why that is the avenue that God desired and decided to use. But that's the avenue that he decided to use. I can't change that. I can't do anything about it. That's what God said. This is what I want. I want you to repent. I want you to be baptized. And I want you to be filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I can't change that. And so here Naaman is going home angry and mad because he has a better way. He has a better plan. He has better things that he would rather do. The river, that's a nasty river. It's dirty. It's got all of just all of the runoff from all the other rivers that come in with it, and the runoff off the mountains. And we've got prettier places. Why can't I go and do it my way? And his servant looked at him and said, he didn't ask you to do a hard thing. That's what's so awesome about baptism. It can be one of the easiest things that you ever do. You just have to show up. We've got clothes. We've got everything that you need. All you have to do is believe and have faith. And so he asked him, he's not asking you to do a hard thing. All he's doing is asking you to get wet. All he's doing is asking you to just go down to the River Jordan and dip 7 times. And when he showed up that day, there was an act of faith also that went with that as he walked out into that water, that he was obeying what God wanted him to do. He was obeying what God had asked him to do. And when we obey what God asks us to do, he shows up every time. That there's something about it that when we obey what God desires to do in our lives, that you can rest assured that he's going to show up. I had a young man that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he waited years to get baptized. I don't know why, but he just never seemed interested in it. We talked to him about it. We tell him about it, and it just, you know, I'm not really big on it. I'll be a spectacle. People will see me up there, and I'm not really interested in all of that. And so we were at youth camp, and the preacher got up, and he started preaching about baptism, and something got a hold of Jeremy. And Jeremy ran up to me, told me, he says, I don't know why I've waited so long, but I've got to be baptized. And they were filling up a trough over in the corner with just water from outside. And he ran over there and got in line, was one of the first ones to get in line, and he jumped in that water, and they baptized him in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. He came out of that water jumping and screaming and hollering, and I said, well, what? I said, how do you feel? He said, I thought when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that was awesome. He said, there's nothing that can change that. I love what I felt when I received it. I loved what I had when I got it. He says, but this is different. He said, it's just water, but when I came out of that water, he said, I feel like I'm free. I feel like things that I've drug around forever are gone. He said, it feels like God has just taken something off of me and pulled it away. He says, I have no idea why I've waited so long to be baptized. I have no idea why I've waited so long to do this. There's something about it that it's just water, but when we show up, God shows up. There's something about it that when we follow after him and we do what he requires and asks us to do, he'll show up every single time. John the Baptist in Mark 1 and 2 says, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send a messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist in the wilderness and preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John came to the children of Israel, bringing them back to a place of repentance. That he brought them back to a place that you've got to get right with God. You've got to make sure that everything's right between you and God. You've got to make sure that as he brought them back to a place of repentance, he would take them down and he would begin to baptize them into repentance. That as they would be baptized, they were, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry for the sins that were in my life. Forgive me for the things that I had done. Herod hated John the Baptist because John the Baptist stood for what was right. John the Baptist would stand and look at Herod and look him in the face and say that what you're doing is wrong, that what you're doing is a sin, and it caused Herod to hate him. He respected him. He understood that he was a prophet. He understood that he was used of God, but there was something inside that despised what he was doing because it pointed out the faults that were in his life. It pointed out the things that were wrong, and it's easier to shun him than it would be to accept it and to, here I am, I need to repent, I need to say that I'm sorry. Mark 1 and 7 says, and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than me, than mightier than I after me, that whose shoes, says, that I cannot even latch. I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That there was John the Baptist as he came before, as he was showing the way, as he began to baptize people in a way that it doesn't seem like people had ever been baptized before, as John the Baptist was leading the way. Jesus was baptized as Jesus walked down to the River Jordan that day and he stood on the banks and John the Baptist recognized who he was and I'm sorry, this is above my pay grade. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand, as he walked out into the water to be baptized that day. If Jesus felt the need to show us that baptism is important, then it must be important. If Jesus felt the need to walk down that day to the River Jordan and wade off out into those waters, he didn't have sin in his life. The scripture says in Hebrews that he was a man without sin, that there was no sin there. He didn't have to be baptized. He'd never sinned before, but he wanted to show us the way that it was to be done. He wanted to show us that if he would humble himself to be baptized, that if he would allow himself to be baptized, that we also should allow ourselves to be baptized. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, not names, but the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Acts 2 and 38 says, when Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 8 and 12 says, but when they believed Philip's preaching and the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Not any other name, there is no other name on heaven and earth in which men can be saved. That our sins are washed away, not by some other man's blood, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the scripture begins to emphatically show that everywhere that somebody was baptized, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the scripture says. That there's something about it. It says both men and women, and Simon himself, a sorcerer, believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles, signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were in Jerusalem heard of Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them. that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For it is not yet fallen upon them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized by Philip, we read about. Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22 and 16, it says, And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. On the name of the Lord, what is the name of the Lord? Who is the Lord? We go back to Acts 9. When Paul is laying on the side of the road, that he is laying there, he's been blinded by God, and he's laying on the side of the road, and the words come out of his mouth, "Who art thou, Lord, and what wilt thou have me to do?" And Acts 9 and 5 says, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, and it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." That he didn't have to go back and remind. He knew who the Lord was. He knew because he had had an encounter with him that day when God spoke from heaven and said, "My name is Jesus. That's who I am." That there was something there that he understood what the name of the Lord was. Cornelius had already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and Peter said, "Now we've got to head to the water," as he baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. Lydia talks about her experience and her baptism being baptized in the name of Jesus. The prison guard, as Paul and Silas arose from the rubble, as he stood there in fear, as they began to talk to him, as that night he said, "I need to be baptized. I've got to be baptized in Jesus' name." There's something about it. I'm going to spend some more time in the next weeks about the name of Jesus, that there is no other name like that name. That I'm going to spend an entire, either a sermon or a lesson, we're going to talk about the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. But one of the most important parts of baptism is we've got to understand that it is a serious occasion. You hear about the people that are receiving the Holy Ghost in India, people that are coming to God in that country. They're of a Hindu descent. Their parents are Hindu. Their family are Hindu. Everyone there is of a Hindu or Muslim descent. And so when they stand on the riverbanks to walk down into that nasty, cold river, they have fathers standing on the other side looking at them, shaking their heads that will never talk to them again. They have mothers with tears running down their face because they know and understand that there's almost a death sentence as far as that is their involvement in their son's life anymore. Brothers standing there with their fists clenched and teeth gritted as they look at him and call him names and say things about him as the young man would walk into the water to be baptized in Jesus' name. It's not something to take lightly. It's not something that we just do. It's something that the Word of God says, repent and be baptized. There's something about that young man that something inside says that it doesn't matter what my past has been told. It doesn't matter what all of my family believes. I've come to the realization that I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. It was serious as he walks down into the water. Family members that will never talk to him again, that will never have anything to do with him, but it is a serious business of making sure that I seek out my salvation with fear and trembling. I've been baptized thousands of times in a swimming pool, and none of them meant anything. It was just kids being ignorant. It's just Jesus' name, you're baptized. Ha ha ha, my turn. Jesus' name, you're baptized. I had a young man that came to me and said he wanted to be baptized. He'd been come to church for several months, and he had a young lady that was loosely attached to the church. She had been coming to church also, and they were dating. And if she was going to be in church, he was going to be in church. And if she was whatever she wanted to do, that's what he was going to do. And so we worked with him, taught him, gave him Bible studies, and thought we were making headway with him. He calls me one night, and he says, "I'm ready to be baptized." And I thought to myself, that's awesome. And we were on our way to Logan's to eat a steak, and I turned around and ran to the church, and I want to be baptized right now. So we get to the church, and he changes clothes, and we get him ready, and his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or might-be girlfriend or could-be girlfriend, she was crazy to like the eighth power kind of girlfriend, and she was something else. And so she's there, and she told him that she couldn't date him anymore because he wasn't baptized. And I'm like, you don't even go to church. I mean, but she wasn't going to date him because he wasn't baptized. And so he starts telling me this, and I'm like, oh, my word. Jesus, I could be eating steak at Logan's right now. So he gets dressed, climbs down in the water, and I baptize him just like I baptize everybody else in the name of Jesus. And when he came out of the water, the first thing is he did is he turned and he looked at her to see what she thought about it. And when she turned and marched out of the church to get in her truck, he literally jumped up and ran wet into the parking lot after her, thinking that it would change what was going on. I sat there and looked at that situation that day. I never felt God. It was just like when I was a kid baptizing somebody in the swimming pool when we were 8 years old. It didn't mean anything to him. There wasn't anything there. He was just doing it for somebody else. It has to be serious. It has to be something that comes from the heart. It's an act of saying, God, I'm turning from my ways. I've repented, and I want you to change me. I want you to save me. I want your spirit to move and flow in my life. The word baptism comes from the word bapto in the Greek. This literally means to dip. W.E. Vines, the process of immersion or submission, that is literally of burying somebody in the water. Peter talks about it is that it is a burial with Christ, that being buried with him, being baptized with him. We see that Jesus went, it says in Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water. He came out of the water after his baptism. He was in the water. It didn't happen on a street corner somewhere. It didn't happen. It was in the water that he came out of. It says in Acts 8:38, when we talk about Philip baptizing the Ethiopian, it says, and they commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and they were, it says, and when they were come out of the water. That there's something about it, about being buried with Christ. That in Romans 6:4, Paul talks about it, being buried with Christ. In Colossians 2:12, he talks about being buried with Christ. There's something about it that being buried is being completely submerged, being completely covered. In the Old Testament, God chose to use animals. It started with Adam and Eve as he slew the first animal as a sacrifice to create clothes for them. And from that day on, he required a blood sacrifice from humanity. As life went on day after day, year after year, as they had to bring a spotless lamb, they had to bring a sacrifice to the temple, a sacrifice that would take their sins and take their way. I don't know why he chose that way. It was bloody. It was nasty. It was not something that was a pretty occasion. When you went to the temple, it wasn't some glorious looking event that was going on, but that's what God chose for them to do, that they had to bring something to him, a spotless lamb, a dove, as they came before him, as they made a sacrifice for the sins that they had committed. But in Matthew 26:28, it says, for this my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That Jesus said that I have come to be the spotless lamb for you, that I have come to die for your sins, that no longer are you going to have to bring a lamb or some kind of a dove to me to be able to have your sins taken away, but I have come to be the spotless lamb, that my blood that is going to be shed for you is for the remission of your sins. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. That says that's where they were living. They were standing on it. By which also ye are saved. He says that this is your salvation, and to keep in memory what I have preached unto you, lest you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. He said, I received this also, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again a third day according to the Scriptures. That Christ died for our sins, that he literally laid down and allowed them to kill him for the sins of humanity, that he endured the cross and the shame for the joy that was set before him, Hebrews says. Titus 3 and 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. This is talking about baptism. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Here he is again. Titus is talking about being saved, and he's talking about baptism, and he's talking about the Holy Ghost. John 3, 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Mark 16 and 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized, this is Jesus speaking, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. 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 What does baptism do? Oh, why do we do what we do? It's just water. It's just there. Let's talk about what the Bible says about baptism. Let's talk about what the Bible talks about what happens when we are baptized in the name of Jesus. Acts 22 and 16 says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. This is Ananias speaking to Paul after Paul had come to conversion. He says, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That he wants him to be baptized so that his sins will be washed away. There's something beautiful about going down into the water and being baptized, that every sin that you've ever committed, every fault that you've ever made, everything that you've ever done, when you sit down in that water and you begin to be laid back in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, the scripture says that it washes away every sin. Well, what about that moment, that dark moment, that thing that I don't want anybody to know about? The scripture doesn't say just the white lies. It doesn't say just the little stuff. It says every sin is washed away, never to be remembered again. That there's something powerful about saying, God, here I am, Lord. I'm going to allow you to work in my life. I'm sitting here in this water by faith, believing that something's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 6 and 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Such were some of you. He goes through a list of all of these horrible kinds of people and all of these kinds of mistakes and all of this stuff. And he says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. I still struggle with some of that. There's something that happens when you're baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. What you've got to understand, there's something that happens when God, when you're baptized in his beautiful name. It says, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We had a man, Skip was one of the first African-Americans to graduate from Harvard Medical. He very intelligent. He's an anesthesiologist there in Odessa. And had all kinds of I'm not telling you something he wouldn't tell you himself. Skip had some problems. Skip had some issues. He was almost too smart for his own good, because he could justify and figure out a way, a loophole around everything. And so when he came to God, we put him in the baptistry and baptized Skip in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. And he came up and he took a big breath, and all of a sudden he went back down to the bottom of that baptistry, and he just laid on the bottom with his arms crossed for seemed like an eternity. And he come up and he took a big breath again, and he just went back down to the bottom of that baptistry and just laid there for a while. And he came back up and, "What are you doing?" He said, "You don't understand." He says, "I feel so good." And he said, "I've got so much junk, I want to make sure it's all gone." He took a deep breath and went back down to the bottom of that baptistry and stayed a little longer. There's something about being baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. The scripture says in 1 Peter 3:20, which sometimes we were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, where when few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. This is Peter talking to us. He's talking about salvation. He says, and the likewise figure thereunto, even baptism doeth also now save us. Peter's saying baptism saves us. Not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's saying that water baptism is a part of salvation, that it saves us. And also he says that it gives us a good conscience towards God. You've got to understand, there's something Satan will bring up about you and he'll remind you, and you just remind him, "Hey, I've been baptized. It's been washed away. It's been washed away." I've had people come to me and they say, "I was baptized when I was younger. I don't know if I fully understood what it was. Do you think I need to be baptized again?" I said, "No, I don't believe you need to be baptized. But if you want to, I'll baptize you again just to make everything, you know, right inside. If that would make you feel better." I can't tell you how many people that have come back and said, "You know what? I was baptized when I was younger and I want to make sure that I knew what I was doing. I want to be baptized." There's no shame in that. I'll tell them. I'll meet you up in the middle of the day. Nobody has to know about it. We won't tell a soul and we'll rebaptize you in the beautiful name. Do I believe that it has to be done? No, but if it gives you a good conscience about what's going on, let's do it again. If it's going to help you be able to look at the devil and say, "Devil, you're a liar and you're a fake and a fraud. I've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ." Let's do it again. Amen. Here recently had a young man, he started dating a girl in the church, and they weren't too far apart in age, but she had a whole lot more experience in life than he did. They were both about 19, 20 years old, and she had 2 kids already, had been living with a man, and he's still living at home with mom and dad, and just barely got his first job. Whole world of difference between them. They started dating. When they broke up, he came back to church and said, "Would you please rebaptize me one more time?" I don't know what happened. I don't want to know. I didn't ask any questions, but I imagine he got an education, and so we took him back to the water because, hey, it doesn't matter. Do you need to be baptized again? No. See, what you've got to understand is when you've been baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, it doesn't all cover everything of yesterday. But if you sin in your future, if you hit your knee one more time and say, "God, I'm sorry, please forgive me," that same blood that washed you the day that you were baptized, the same blood that steps down that day and washes it away one more time. Satan says, "Don't you remember this? No, you don't understand. I can live in good conscience because I have knelt and repented one more time. And the water that cleansed my sins 30 years ago is the same water that God can take his blood and cleanse my sins again today." Amen. Well, what about this? "Now, devil, I got a good conscience because I've already repented about it. It's under the blood. It's already been made white as snow. It's been blotted out of the book. I can go forward with a good conscience." Romans 6:3 says, "Know ye not that many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ?" Here we are again, being baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized unto death. Talks about it. We've talked about it being a cleansing. We've talked about it being a cleansing. We've talked about it being a part of salvation. He writes here, as Paul talks about being buried with him, that it's literally the old man going down and a new man coming back up. That there's something that happens that when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that there's something spiritually that changes in our lives, that God does something spiritually inside of us. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we're great. It doesn't mean we're good enough. It is a gift that he gives us, crying, Abba, Father, being heirs and joint heirs of God, that he says, hey, I'll make you mine. I'll allow you to be a part of my kingdom. I'll allow you to be a part of my world. It says, being baptized unto death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. The Bible talks about the old man and the new man. That there's some things I left in that water. I might have picked some things up, but I can leave them back in that water one more time. There might have been some things that the old man might have crept back into my life, but there's some things I can dump it back in that water again and say, devil, I'm done with it. God, forgive me. I'm sorry. That there's something about leaving the old man there and continually getting rid of the old man. And Colossians 2 and 11 says, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcisions of Christ. Circumcision, it was a Jewish male, was means by which a Jewish male came into covenant with God. So we're saying here as we go on, it talks about how that for ye are, it says Galatians 3 and 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye all are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is talking about being engrafted in to his lineage. Well, my dad's an alcoholic. My dad's this. My dad did that. I come from this kind of family. When you're baptized in Christ, you've got a new lineage. It doesn't matter if your daddy was an alcoholic. Your new daddy is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's something that has changed. It doesn't change who your physical father is, but you don't have to be what that was. You don't have to live with that same kind of a lineage. There's something about it. When you come out of that water, he says that, hey, you're mine. You're an heir of mine. You're something that you are of mine. That there is a spiritual circumcision that he has gone into covenant with you and brought him. You are brought into his family. Back to Colossians 2 and 11. Now at 12, it talks about circumcision. It talks about being brought into covenant with him. And then verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism. How does all of that happen? It happens being buried with him in baptism. That when I'm buried with him in baptism, that all of a sudden I come into a new covenant with him, that I become an heir and a joint heir, that all of a sudden something has changed, that all of this that has been this covenant that was created in verse 11 is because I was buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and your uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Not some trespasses, all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. They come in and say, this is what he's done. And God says, you don't understand. It's been washed away. Satan says, don't you remember what's happened here? Don't you remember the mistakes that he's made? And God said, no, you don't understand. It's been washed away. It's been covered by my blood. That's my child. There's nothing there. The ordinances were leveled against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He took the things that said, look what he did. And Jesus says, ha, it's covered. Don't worry about it anymore. Hey, what about this? It's covered by my blood. Don't
Don't worry about that one anymore. He took the things that Satan brings against you like in a court of law and says, "Not, that's not yours anymore. They've repented. They've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. They've been baptized in Jesus' name. They've been buried in the water. They've been brought into a new covenant with me." And having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I jumped around a little bit in that. You need to go back and read Colossians 2, 11 through 15 on your own. There is something powerful about it when you begin to read that you understand. I was baptized, and since I was baptized, it's literally God steps in, and when we repent, he just starts taking things away. Devil, you can't hold that against them anymore. You can't bring that up anymore. They can live in good conscience now because I died for that. That's mine. I'm cleaning that. That's mine. They've been buried with me. They've been baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're baptized in a baptistry in a church. It doesn't matter if we went out to the Calcasieu River and we baptized in the river. It doesn't matter if we used a bathtub, if we used a swimming pool. It doesn't matter if we dug a hole out behind the church and we waited for it to fill with water and we baptized you in that muddy, nasty water. It doesn't have anything to do with the water. It has everything to do with him in your faith. And when you show up and say, "God, here I am," he shows up and says, "Here I am." When you show up and say, "God, this is all my mess. I've repented for it at an altar already. Your scripture says that after repentance, I need to be baptized. God, here I am. I want to be baptized, Lord." God says, "Here I am. I'm here to take away every sin. I'm here to take away every fault that you've done in your past. I'm here to wipe away everything that Satan would ever try to hold against you." Sometimes we jump past baptism and we run straight to the Holy Ghost. And you got to understand that baptism is just as important as every other step. We've got to understand that there's something powerful about baptism. I've seen people that were addicted to drugs when they come out of the water be delivered coming out of the water in baptism. There's a lady not far from here. She came to church and she couldn't receive the Holy Ghost. She was struggling and then she come to find out she was HIV positive and just the shame that she carried with that. When she would go to repent, it just seemed like that she couldn't do it. She couldn't receive the Holy Ghost. It was just all these different things and she couldn't have children because the drugs that she was taking were so hard on her body to fight that disease. And so here she is. She'd just gotten married. When she'd gotten married, she didn't have it, but now she has it. She has a husband, and she's HIV positive. He's not, and all of the things that are going on in her life is messed up. And what do we do? And she was baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. When she came up out of the water, she was speaking in tongues. She just had a baby, and the doctors say she's no longer HIV positive. In fact, they can't even see where the drugs that she has taken has hurt her body anywhere. You've got to understand there's something powerful when you say, "God, here I am." There's something more to it than just climbing down in the water and thinking you're getting a little wet. There's something powerful that happens at that moment. It is a spiritual moment at that time and place that God steps into your world and says, "That was yours, now it's mine. That was yours, now it's mine. You've carried that too long, I'm going to carry it now. You've drugged that with you all this time, I'm going to take it with me now. I'm going to take this. Here I am." God says, "Here I am." Ananias looked at Paul and said, "Why tarry you? Let's get to the water. What hindereth thee?" What's stopping you from getting to the water? What's stopping you? Well, I don't know. It's just different. I don't want to be. We'll do it when nobody else is around. Call me. We'll do it. Hey, you don't have to have a crowd to be baptized in Jesus' name. I don't know. I don't think God can forgive me. You're saying that God's not big enough for the sin that's in your life. That's a bunch of hogwash. He died for your sins. What hindereth thee? Well, we've got to get to the water, he said. And why? Because you hadn't experienced just yet what you're about to experience. When you come out of that water, it's going to be different than anything you've ever felt, Paul. Paul said, I've received the baptism of the Holy. Hey, I've got something else for you too. It's going to wash away every sin. I've murdered people. It's going to wash away every sin. I've done horrible things in my life, Paul said. It's going to wash away every sin. I've made some mistakes trying to fit in and be a part of the crowd. It's going to wash away every sin that you've ever committed. What are you saying? It washes away all. Lord Jesus, Lord, I want to thank you today, God, for dying on a cross. That your blood, your saving grace could save us. That you, for whatever reason, have chosen a water baptismal, a water burial. It might not make complete sense. It might seem small to us. It might seem too simple. But that's what you chose. Not man, not somebody else. That is what you chose. Is a part of our sins being washed away. So, Lord God, if we've never been baptized before in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, God, if there's something more out there, I want it. And God, if I have been baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ and Satan's holding all of this junk over my head and I've gone and I've asked God for forgiveness, I'm going to live this day forward with a good conscience because it has been washed and it is clean and it is under the blood. It's been buried in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got a lot of junk, God says. I got a lot of mercy. I've got a lot of faults, God says. I've got a lot of patience and a lot of love. I've got things that nobody knows about, God says. I know about them. And I'm already accepting you before. I'm accepting you at your worst right now, and I'll forgive it. I've got to prove something to you, no? You've just got to show up with faith and say, God, here I am. God, I'm sorry. I'm ready for a newness of life. I'm ready for a change. I'm ready for something different. I'm ready to give you all of this junk. And if you're here today and you have been baptized, and you think that it was, you didn't know what you were doing or you didn't understand what was going on, and you'd just like to be rebaptized again and you don't want anybody else to know about it, come find me. And we'll come up here in the middle of the day when nobody else is around and we'll never tell a soul because there's no reason for Satan to be able to hold that over your head. There's no reason for Satan to be able to say, well, you were too young and you don't remember. You were too young and you didn't know what you were doing. Oh, you just got into church and you just did it because everybody asked you to. We'll do it again. And just settle it in your mind and in your spirit. Amen? Glory. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's something awesome when you start talking about His Word and talking about aligning myself with Him. We serve an awesome God. Go talk a little bit more about it. I ran through a bunch of stuff today. I know some of you had to put in fast forward, try to catch what was going on, try to cover a lot of territory in a short amount of time, but I believe it in Jesus' name. Repent. Be baptized. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. We're going to mill around, shake hands, say hello to some people you might not have seen in a week or two. And we're going to be right back in here in a few minutes, and we're going to have church in about 5 minutes in Jesus' name. I went a little long today. Sorry, I got excited. But we're going to have church, and we have a great time. And Brother Joel McCoy is going to be ministering. Amen.